Now, I want to say a word or two to enable you to understand the fundamentals upon which these lectures are given. You must realize that you're all living. First of all, the first consideration is that you're alive, that you are living, that it is life that is living. Nothing else lives but life. No one has ever seen life, but you've seen the manifestation of life. You've seen the effect, but not the cause. Now, life itself is always omnipresent. That is to say, it is never dead. It is never away from any particular place at any time. It is omnipresent. Life is omnipotent. That is to say, it is all power. There is no other power but it. Therefore, any other power that exists in the mind is an illusion and not a reality. Life has within itself intelligence, and that intelligence is omniscient. That is to say, it knows all things, and nothing comes into being except through the knowledge and the wisdom of life. It has these particular qualities, and this life is inherent in man. This life gives man consciousness, gives him a power to think. Now, your thoughts are the result of something that is invisible, something that is cause. But this cause is invisible, and only the effect is seen. Now, you'll see in your own mind that you have an idea of life. Now, the idea of life is not life. You will realize that is true, isn't it? The word life is not life. An idea or a belief in life is not life. Life is a living presence, but it is present all the time, and it is always present now. In your mind, you are aware of life at this moment, in a split second. You're aware. But when that split second is passed, that second that is passed is memory. It is no longer present. It is something in the past. But this split second is always renewing itself continuously. That is life. If you try then to create an idea of life in your mind, it is not life. When you are creating an idea in your mind about life, it is life itself that is acting, you being life and consciousness, are trying to find life outside yourself. Therefore, your prayers to a God, which is life, outside yourself, is idolatrous. It has no existence at all in reality, and it has no power of its own, because you're praying to something external to yourself that has no power of its own except in your own mind, a belief, an idea of a God that is external to yourself is ludicrous. It's stupid. Now, when you see clearly, there is the one life that is behind all things, in heaven and on earth. The one life is behind everything, you and me and everyone is the same life. But if you create an idea about life, and another person creates an idea about life, you'll quarrel over your ideas. If you create a religion on the basis of life, someone else will create a religion on the basis of life. Therefore, you'll have separation. You have two religions, created by man's mind, but there is one life, one consciousness, one fundamental behind all creation. It is to get behind all ideas, all beliefs, all things that separate man from man, all antagonisms, all nationalities, all groups, that have different views, these are the things that we must get past. We must see that they are false and have no existence in reality whatsoever. And when we do see that these things are false, then we will find that which is true. And when we find that which is true, we will find that it is affection and love and wisdom. There shall be no longer any antagonisms, because we'll have removed these things from our minds. We'll understand them. We'll understand ourselves. That is the basis of our teaching. We will enter into the relative world. We will go back again into cause, out into the relative world, into cause. The reason why I teach you this way is that to show you what the relative is. And by understanding the relative, you can get behind it. You will see it for what it is. Again, I will give you, if you can catch it, but you cannot catch it in your mind. Your mind must cease to think before you can catch this split second. This split second that is ever renewing itself every split second. That is life. In that split second is eternity. In that split second is everything. But when you enter into your mind, again, what happens, you see duality. You see the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You see the duplicity of the opposites. Good, evil, fear, faith, success, failure, health, ill health, and so forth. And you're always battling in between the two. In that split second, and the continuation of renewal of that split second, there is the oneness, the completeness of everything. It is beyond mind. It's that which creates. It's creativeness. Now I say this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And the right use of that kingdom, and all else shall be added unto you. The secrets of the science of life, and evermore shall the Eternal guide you, guarding you without fail. He will refresh you in dry places and renew your strength, till you are like a watered garden, like an oasis with a steadfast spring, Isaiah 58:11. The science of life is the greatest of all sciences, because only by it can all other sciences be understood. And without it, no science is possible. For life alone lives. Life alone has consciousness. Life alone created the brain through which all can be understood in the physical. The science of life is the greatest of all sciences, and without life, no other science could be understood, because life alone has consciousness. The consciousness of man is the only power possible to enter in to the investigation of all other sciences. Therefore, the science of life becomes primary, but no one has really taken it into consideration. The masters have made their investigations along practical lines, while the majority of people have but an intellectual smattering of this great science, which is more often misleading. This science has been misunderstood in the West because few people care to take it to heart. Other factors for this misunderstanding have been the the mystic and psychic characteristics attributed to this greatest of all sciences. Now, when we look into this point of view, that the mystic and psychic characteristics attributed to life is all relative. These relative things have been investigated. For instance, we will investigate spiritualism. We'll investigate the return of an individual from the planes above. We will know that the personality has come back. We investigate all these things. We are investigating, don't you see, a relative thing and not something that is beyond the relative. But when you see, you must go beyond the relative into that which is beyond the relative, that which is beyond mind, to grasp the completeness of life itself. Because in the consciousness of life is the totality of everything. Because consciousness of life must contain everything in the universe. Everything in the universe must be within the consciousness of God, otherwise it could not exist. So everything must be within the consciousness of man, otherwise it could not exist to him either. Therefore, we must go beyond the relative plane, into that which is reality itself, and there find the secret of our own creativeness, the secret of the power of God in man. And there we will find it, in the very center of our being, that very power that gives you power to speak, because the Spirit alone has voice, the Spirit alone has power to think. The Spirit alone has power to give the activity to the thought, according then to the consciousness and the power of the consciousness. So is the thought of the individual who expresses it. Therefore we see that the thought is the effect of something that is beyond. And if the consciousness is not aware of itself as the consciousness of the Supreme Being, then that consciousness can only express a thought according to its limitation. But there is no limitation in man. Man is limited by his own beliefs, by his tradition, by his conditioning. He conditions himself by his traditions, his beliefs, his ideas. Therefore, he expresses his thoughts according to his conditioning. According to his beliefs, so will he express his thought. What is in your mind then is often, and more than often, the foundation for your thoughts. But if you can think freely beyond these things and see how you have been conditioned since your infancy, you have perhaps followed a particular form of religion. You have built a particular form of character through your environment. You are conditioned in this way. You have followed a religion. Your condition from your infancy along these lines. What do? You can only think in accordance to that conditioning that has been taught to you from your infancy. And when any person with a different idea comes along, you will argue with them and say that they are wrong and you are right. But there can be no argument about life. There can be no argument about truth. What you argue about is not truth, but an idea of truth. The common misinterpretation has been due to lack of proper guidance. Most people who teach have but a smattering of the fundamental principles underlying the science. Also, those who know are reluctant to divulge the inner secrets of the ultimate source of knowledge to the inquisitive, curious scholars and uninitiated philosophers. Very few people really understand the fundamental principles For the simple reason that they are caught up in these things of the mind. But those who really understand only divulge the secrets to those that are invited. For instance, now, as you know, no one is allowed into these classes except by invitation. Therefore, you will see that I have chosen you, and you haven't chosen me. And no one is allowed into these classes whatsoever, no stranger, nor is no student allowed to take a stranger into these classes except he asks permission to do so. That permission may be granted or it may not be granted, according to the conditions. But that is the way, and that is the foundation of this class, as you will see. Therefore, you have been chosen. When we reach a state of understanding through action, not by mere belief, we are able to enter into that field to explore the glorious realm which reveals the living essence behind all creation. During the last half century, history will reveal that a great era of awakening has taken place in the West. This has taken the form of realization of the power of the mind, which has opened the way to the atomic age. There is a vast amount of literature on the market in the West. Much of it is naturally immature, but nevertheless, it is a starting point for further and more correct knowledge. Take Christian Science, for instance. It has been taken up by many thousands all over the world, while the Rosicrucian order has many thousands of adherents. Metaphysical groups all over the world also claim many more thousands. They all deserve tribute for the work done to awaken the minds of thousands beyond the mere physical attributes of man. But there is still a great deal more to be done in the way of eliminating separation from the minds of the people, for this alone will bring true understanding. I was asked one time by a group of various people to start a large worldwide organization. It had the backing of thousands of people and much finance. And when I refused, they opened their eyes and they said to me, "Why do you refuse to accept the chairmanship of such a worldwide organization?" I said, "Because of too many organizations already, and one would only add to the misery of all the others." Organized religion, organized groups, are all in opposition to one another. They do not create unity, but create separation. And one more would only add to the separation. Therefore, it is not to attach oneself to a group, because that is limitation. It is not to attach oneself to one religion against another. That is also limitation. It is in the science of life to discern all that is preventing life from manifesting itself in its totality, in its fullness, in its greatness, in its magnificence, in its omnipresence, in its omniscience, and in its omnipotence. If you look into your own minds, you will see what's hindering life from manifesting itself in that way through you. It is only the discerning of your own thoughts, your actions, whether you are bound by any particular form, tradition or religion of any kind. If your mind is then caught up in any of these things, you will know that you are thinking according to your conditioning. And if you cannot discern that you're conditioned, you'll continue to express your thoughts according to these conditions. And until such time as you see that this conditioning is false, you'll never allow life to express itself in its fullness. That is exactly the truth. The hindrance today is orthodoxy, tradition, and beliefs, without understanding which are dogmatic and lead to separation. Although all religions have a common goal, their ways and means are different. This has led to strife and bloodshed in the name of God, and some thought that God would be pleased with these cruel deeds done in His name. They have not yet come to understand that God is a God of love, and all are His children. Is it not so that we ourselves, because of our confusion, because of the chaos in our minds, we created the condition in the world because we are the world? You think that you didn't create this war and this trouble. Oh yes, you did. You were part of it. And although you think you are not, examine your mind and you will see that you are part of it. Because the individual is the world. The world is made up of individuals. And what the individual thinks, how the individual acts, so does the world act. Because the world is the individual multiplied millions of times. And not until you see that the cause of war and destruction is in yourselves, you will never rid yourselves of war. Conferences will not rid yourselves of war. Ideas and various systems will not rid yourself of war. You can have all the economic systems in the world, but unless you rid yourselves of these conditions that create war, you will still have war. And when your bodies are mangled, when they are strewn with shells and shock and bombs and the rest of it, you will know it was yourselves that was the cause of all the trouble. And because you have certain ideas, East and West, and so forth, you cannot reconcile them because you do not understand that life is the basic principle behind all things. And because you have an ideal to hold up to, how can you ever have peace through an ideal? Peace is a way of life. It is not an ideal. And as long as you have ideals of peace and not a way of life, you will still have war and destruction because ideals and different ideals will still be antagonistic to each other. We must look beyond occult powers, for these in themselves are a hindrance and distract from the real. When we enter the temple of truth, we must march on beyond these powers without interruption, transformed and transmuted into one brilliant light of spirit. The Bhagavad Gita was in existence thousands of years before the Christian era and contains much of the wisdom of the Christ, for it is the same language, explains the same truth as did Jesus, which is a comprehensive system of practical philosophy based upon action. In other words, it is not what you know that counts, but what you do. Therefore, it is not what you know that counts, but what you do. I don't want you to accept anything I say. In fact, if you accept anything I say, you will be only imitating me. Therefore, I have not come here for to give you an idea of truth, I have not come here to give you a philosophy. I have not come here to give you a religion. What I have come here to do is for you to discern clearly and distinctly what is in your own minds that prevents the expression of life in its totality and completeness. It is an intelligent process whereby health of mind and body can be maintained, as well as training of the mind and the discovery of the truth, understanding the subtle mysteries of life, as well as the skillful manipulation of the invisible energies that pervade our universe. Without this practical knowledge, the philosopher is greatly handicapped. What is a philosopher? A man that conjures up in his mind, thinking about things and creating images and ideas in his mind about life itself. He runs along with his head down. He doesn't know where he's going. He's thinking about life, not knowing that he's life himself. I'm not creating an idea of life. Life itself. The mind must be silent. It must be empty. And the emptiness of the mind, there life is. Some people say to me, "Doctor, those wonderful things you do." I says, "I do nothing at all. I've never done anything in my life." "Oh, but you have healed so and so and so and so and so and so. And all these so-called miracles, those miracles that are performed," I say, "I do no miracle. I've never performed a miracle in my life." The look and the wonderment. "Doctor, but you healed her." I say, "I've never healed anybody in my life. I myself am nothing. Nothing at all. It's the spirit that heals." "Do you know how you're healing him about?" "By the Spirit of God within yourself. That's how you're healing him about. Perhaps I was the means, only the means, to bring this Spirit into operation. But it was the Spirit within you that healed you. A Spirit outside you couldn't heal you. Only the Spirit that is within yourselves does the healing. The guide only is that who knows, who have touched the fringe of the divine. And because he knows, then he can lead you also to that divine nature within yourselves. And that is now, not in some future time. What is past is but a memory, an experience in your mind. The future is but a thought, a belief, a hope, perhaps a fear. These things are in your mind also. But what is present always is life, eternal. Don't be led away by people who conjure up ideas in your mind about truth. And he who says he knows, you will know perfectly well he does not know. No one knows what the truth is. You only know that it is. You can't tell me what electricity is. No one can, but we know that it is. We know the laws, we operate upon the laws. We know life is because I am alive and living. And I know the laws of life. Those laws that life operates through. And I know that my own consciousness is the keynote. No dogmatic theological doctrine or philosophical deduction can give that joy and bliss of the absolute indissoluble essence of existence that satisfies the soul through experience and action. We must feel and know that this existence beyond the senses and above the gross debating room of reason or intellect, gain this wisdom, an illuminating, limitless power of spirit. The way is not easy, yet it is simple. It is not easy because of the fact that you have to empty your minds of all that you have already learned. Then that which is real in itself will begin to express itself. While resolute search, we find the basic formula through which we gain access to the entire universe. That secret formula is the prize concealed within the higher self. In this way, we direct our consciousness to gain conscious experience and knowledge beyond the senses. In this way, our inner perception sees beyond the senses, revealing that the omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotence is the attribute of the Spirit that is our life. Because the life in man is in no way separated from the life of God. The life in man is in no way separated from the totality of all life in the universe. It is one and the same. The life in God is the same life in man. Jesus said, the Father have life in himself, and he grants the Son to have the same life in himself. He who has ears, let him hear. We prove that immortality is not a myth by the control of all that is relative, including our physical bodies. The experience of the knowing that reality is, and that all the relative is harmless. The consciousness expresses itself from reality, and we become harmless to everything, and everything becomes harmless to us. Here is the Spirit complete in itself, unattached. Yet complete, not isolated, but in every living thing. Isolation is death, unity is life. Here we see then clearly that immortality is not a myth because of the fact that the life in man is God's life, and the consciousness expresses itself from reality, and everything is harmless to man, and man is harmless to everything. Here is the secret that lies within your own bosom. Here is the divine that dwelleth within you. That power that is beyond the senses, beyond understanding, that is revealed to you when you touch that sacred spot, that particular silence, where you enter in to the closet and close the door, and there you commune with God in secret. And what you ask him in secret, he will reward thee openly. We live at peace with the whole universe. We live at peace with every living thing. No longer do we feel or express vibrations of animosity. Even the wild beasts become our friends and approach us without fear, because they sense no intention to harm. Only love radiates towards every living thing, for all life is our life, and we know this to be true. All life is your life. The wild beasts, the birds of the air, everything. Life, you approach it then from the totality of all life. There you find your friends. Everything is harmless to you because you are harmless to everything. We must not discriminate between various living beings, but see beyond the form. Then we will know that we are an integral part of that which is living in everything that lives. Thus, our consciousness becomes the key that directs all things, great and small, because we love that animating universal intelligence that lives in every form of life. We love that animating intelligence, that thing that gives birth to everything. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. As yourself, because he is yourself. That there is but one life and one God. And who is your neighbor? Your neighbor is everyone you come in contact with. We then realize that injury of any kind disturbs the balance of all creation and will eventually revert back to us to oppose us. Thus we learn the great law of love, which the Master taught us, love your neighbor as yourself. Our minds then become illumined and purified of all illusion, gloom, and ignorance, so that the omniscient light will be revealed in word and deed. The omniscient light, the light that was in the beginning, that light still exists, the light of the world. Man lights his own light from that light that existed in the beginning. I am the light of the world. When this transmutation takes place in the consciousness, we are firmly anchored in the absolute essence of being. Our minds transformed into the great searchlight reflecting the light of the Divine Spirit. Just as a colossal lens can concentrate the rays of the sun to melt the very heart of a diamond, so does our consciousness dissolve away that which is false, melting away the ignorance and suffering of those who seek our service. Here we see the oneness. Yes, the one Spirit of God in you and me, that is your healing. When people come to say, Doctor, I think I am a healer, my own mind, I don't like to hurt them, but I say, yes, hurt them for their sameness. But you think you are? Yes, I think I am. I have the power in my hands. You have no power of your own. Jesus said to his disciples, some have the gift of healing, some have the gift of speaking various tongues, some have the gift of seeing, some have the gift of prophecy, but it's the same Spirit. It's the same Spirit, meaning the Spirit alone has life, has power. I myself am nothing as the Spirit of the Father worketh within me. The Spirit of the Father that doeth these things. Oh, could I give you this in a platter? Could I hand it to you like this, so that you could grasp it and hold it and make it your own? But I can't. If I could do that, it would be of no value to you. Because it will be mine and not your own. But when you search it in your own soul and find that there it is your own, and forever and ever eternal. Each individual thought becomes a creative force, and our words create immediate results. Our words carry the healing power that gives instant relief. Our words charged with almighty power of the Spirit gives health and strength to those who seek in earnest for it, comfort to the heart that is affected. Our speech will be illumined by the radiant light of truth and magnetic essence of wisdom and harmony. Our lips will never utter a careless or injurious word. Our tongues will have lost the power to wound. Our word will become the word of the divine and will not return void, but will accomplish that which is sent forth to do, because it is spirit. If you do not then find the spirit first, then your words are useless. You must find the spirit within yourself. You must realize the spirit. The spirit is there all the time, ever present. It is the complete realization of it, irrespective of any ideal about it, irrespective of any religion or any philosophy, because a philosophy does not give it to you, a religion does not give it to you. You can only find it in yourselves when you clear your mind of all that hinders it. With self-knowledge, confusion and conflict will cease. The continual duality of mine and not mine, the me and the not me, will disappear. Thus the conflict of opposites will cease to exist. We will then free ourselves from conflict and error. The individual mind becomes the universal, and the universal mind becomes the individual mind. And the universal supply is then at our disposal. The individual becomes the means through which the universal can express itself in its wholeness and completeness. That is your supply. That is the eternal supply. Not merely asking with your tongue in your cheek, wondering whether you will get it or not. Where you have the duality in your mind, having and not having, and the one that is dominant in your mind will be produced. Therefore, what is in your mind? A sense of lack? If that sense of lack is existent in your mind, then lack will predominate, because whatever your inner knows, so you express in the outer. If you can see clearly then, that the universe is expressing itself wholly and completely through the individual it created for the purpose, then cleanse your mind of all hindrances, of all duality, of all opposites, and there the supply is immediate. We will realize that all wealth exists in the one boundless storehouse, and we can requisition from this vast stockpile accordance with our capacity receive. Thus we are above all want. Lack in the mind of most people is a tragedy of the human race. What we receive we will enjoy with others, so that our capacity to receive will never be blocked by craving for the self alone. Because if you crave for the self alone, then the whole thing is blocked. It's like a tap with the water inside, but the tap turned off. That's exactly what the individual is when he seeks everything for himself. We enjoy everything with each other. Therefore we find that supply is complete, because God is equally desirous of expressing himself in every human soul. We must realize that the batteries of the body are filled with divine vital energy. Therefore we will not cause evil thoughts to accompany our sex instincts, but will express perfect love. Our brain cells and nervous system will no longer be in conflict with nature. Most of the havoc done to the human mind is the conflict of good and evil. When the mind gets caught up in this duality, nervous tensions, emotional habit patterns show themselves and neurosis affecting the mind and body of the individual in so many different ways. Here we see so many people caught up with the knowledge of good and evil. How many people have I saved from destruction by showing them the truth about life itself, how it functions through the body and the organism, and the basis of everything is love. And when love exists, then the sex instincts become the expression of the divine, because that is how they were created in love. Our glands will secrete the proper fluids that nature intended them to do. For glands are greatly affected by our emotions, which have a ruinous reaction on our circulatory system. The frequent repetition of such mind-disturbing conflicts throughout years distracts the mind from its original purpose, which is to maintain a happy and healthy state of body function. Such disrupting conflicts dry up the glands and shrink the brain cells, which lost the vitality and youth. To seek the elixir of life, we must drink from the fountain of immortality. We must not see the self alone, but that which is immortal within ourselves. So we drink from immortality, and there the whole body becomes fresh and strong. I come to you again after another year has passed. And do I look a year older or a year younger? A year younger. Yes, of course it is a year younger. So it is by realization and recognition of the truth. Why should it not be? If we value the creative power of sound and speech, there must be a commanding, resounding, harmonious melody charged with life, which is magnetic in order to sound the oath, to bring about certain tangible results in the objective plane. We saw clearly in our last lecture that the home of the world of nature exists in every living thing. It exists both in the trees and the birds, in the minerals, in the humans, in the animals, in the flowers, in everything you can hear the sound of the home. The matrix of all sounds, the sound of creation. It brings the invisible to the visible. Sound of the Om comes so clearly and distinctly only when you recognize the source of the Om. To express the word Om is nothing. What is the word Om? What's the idea of the Om? Nothing. It's an idea in your mind. The majority of people are always trying to express the Om, and they think that the Om is a miraculous word. It creates this and creates that. And all they have in their mind is an idea of the Om, not the reality of the Om. First of all, the Om must be understood. It must be felt. It must be the source of your own being. You must hear the nada within yourselves. The nada is a sound of creation. As you hear the silent Om, beyond the ultrasonic range, there is life. The manifestation of life. The body becomes charged with it. It flows everywhere, covers the whole room. It goes through the walls, into the city. The electromagnetic vibrations pass everywhere, through your bodies. even in this peace, in that moment the expression of the womb has done something for you. If you could only find it within yourselves, to heal the nada, then you will feel the nada. Get peace first in your mind, then the nada will be heard clearly and distinctly. If you value the creative power of sound and speech, there must be a commanding, resounding, harmonious melody charged with life, which is magnetic, in order to sound the old, to bring about certain tangible results in the objective plane. Thought and sound have a mysterious effect upon the ether. We have already learned in our last series on the full awakening of the throat center, and centers between the eye and the top of the head is essential. These centers are all affected by negative emotional reactions to life's purpose. Next week we will deal with the ways and means of awakening these centers, so as to tune into the universal vibration of harmony and love and wisdom, so that the trinity of life can manifest here and now. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold to you, silver instead of iron. I will appoint peace as your governor, and justice as your ruler. Benediction. O Eternal One, within thy bosom is the secret of truth. Although I feasted from the tree of life, I was still hungry. Then I realized that I must feed from thy bosom as a child takes from its mother, and my hunger ceased. With thy essence of life, I was filled, for I ate nothing else but that which I took from thee. O Mighty One, thy wisdom and thy love have lifted me beyond time and space into thee forever. O beloved Divine Mother of mine, please enter into the sanctuary of the silent healing power, the silence of the mind. There the spirit gives manifest to itself into the world. When the mind is clear, free from all conditions, free from all oppositions, free from all entanglements, free from all separation, so the mind be a medium through which the life gives the expression to itself. You are the world. Now. My peace will remain with you. Now and evermore. My peace is your peace. Your peace is